Well, we have certainly been blessed with some good music this morning, some Father's Day music, and certainly happy Father's Day to all of our dads in the room. I've been thinking about my dad. We lost my dad a number of years ago, and thinking about some of those times we spent fishing and there on the lake and long trips to South Georgia when I was growing up in the El Camino. That was some of my memories of my dad. And I know that Father's Day is difficult if we've lost our dads and we think about that loss. It can be sad, but I would encourage you to think about those good memories, those good thoughts about your dad, and just be thankful for the time that you had with your dad. And if your dad is still around, like many of our dads, of course, in the room are, a great opportunity to spend some time with your dad and tell him how much you love them and appreciate them and everything that they do. So this morning, we're going to be talking along the themes of Father's Day, but we're going to be talking about our Heavenly Father this morning and our good, good Father. Chris Tomlin is a modern worship leader, and he has made a song entitled Good, Good Father, very popular, and it's the choir sang a portion of it at the beginning and end of their song, and our worship team's going to lead us in that song later, and it just talks about the goodness of our Heavenly Father, and He's good, and that's who He is, and we're loved by Him, and that's who we are. And that song has a profound truth for us as God being our good, good Father. And so we're going to look at our Heavenly Father this morning. And I pray that as we do, that you would get to know your Heavenly Father better, because it really makes a difference that we understand who He is. And it also, with that, if we understand who our Heavenly Father is, it helps us understand who we are as His children. And those are profound truths that we're going to talk about today. But when we talk about God and who He is and our good, good Father, there are a number of wrong ideas about who God is, some misperceptions about who He is, and we're going to look at that. That's the first thing there on your message note, some wrong ideas about God the Father. The first wrong idea that I wanted to mention to you this morning is that some people think that God is this passive grandfather figure. Now, this is nothing to say anything bad about grandfathers, because we have grandfathers and great-grandfathers in this room, but the passive grandfather stereotype of that person that just gives you money and pats you on the head and that's all that the relationship is, some people think of God that way, as this passive grandfather that they pray and God gives them things and they go about their business and He pats them on the heads and sends them out to play. And that's not who God is. That's someone that kind of overemphasizes the grace of God in their life, this passive grandfather. And God is nothing passive in our life. He is active in our lives, and He wants to be more than a passive grandfather to you. And another idea that we have is this idea that God is a cosmic cop, and He's waiting on the corner in the speed trap so that when we're going 5 miles over the speed limit, He gets us, that God is looking out and He's going to punish us for the wrong things that we do. And this focuses on the judgment of God. It's that cosmic cop. And this is certainly nothing against policemen and what they do. But listen, God is more than just looking at the wrong things that you do. He wants to be more than just judgment in your life. Another wrong idea about God, a universal killjoy. Is this that God has this presence in our life of just about the time we start having fun, it's wrong, and we can't do it. It's all the fun out of life. God is there to take all the fun out of life, and that's certainly not who our good, good Father is. You know, as a father, you want to set boundaries for your children, not because you want to keep the fun out of life, but because you care about them and love them, and so you set some parameters up around their life because you love them, and you discipline them because you love them. And some people have this wrong idea about God, that He's a universal killjoy. The fourth one is that He is this angry boss, that He's given us this list of things to do, and no matter what we do, we can't please God. He always wants more, and some of you have had bosses that way in your workplace, that no matter what you do, you can't please the boss. Maybe it was a commander in military service or something. You would just do your best to please that person that's an authority figure over you, but you just couldn't please that person. And see, that's not God, the good, good Father. That's a wrong idea about God, the one that's never pleased, even though you work and try to do that. And the last one is this impersonal force, that maybe there's a God and we believe that there's a God, but we can't know him. And he's impersonal. He's not interested in the details of our life. And so you take these five wrong ideas about God, and then all of a sudden this idea of God being our good, good Father becomes very complex. Because, you know, whether it's he's too passive or he's just trying to find out what you're doing wrong or just taking all the joy and fun out of life. I mean, that is more, God's more than all five of these things. And these are some real wrong ideas about God and this impersonal force. Listen, the good news is this morning is that we can know God, that we can be his children, and that he wants to be alive and active in our lives. And when you take these five wrong ideas about God and you add to that some of our personal ideas about God, then it really gets even more complex, because we all have had earthly fathers, and some of them have been amazing fathers and we've been blessed to be their child, and others have been difficult fathers and not a blessing in their life. And there's this continuum of good fathers and not so good fathers, and most of our fathers fit somewhere in the middle. I know there were some great things that my dad did and some great memories that I have, but I also know of some things, especially now that I'm a father, that I know that my father was getting pretty wrong, and he was closed off from us, and he sometimes disciplined me out of anger, not out of love, and there were some things that he did. And so what I do when I think of our good, good Father, and I think of God as my Heavenly Father, I bring my impression, my personal ideas about what God the Father is based on my own father. And so sometimes when you say that God is our Father, and you say that to someone that's had a difficult time, then they bring that into the conversation, and they have a wrong idea about God based on their own experience. And so the question is, with these five wrong ideas that we talked about, and even some of the wrong ideas we have because of our own earthly fathers, how do we find out what God the Father, our good, good Father, is like? And of course, the place that we turn is his word. God has given us a book that shows us who he is. He's given us a book that describes his character and what he is like. And listen, we're going to talk about some of the ways that God is our good, good Father, but you never completely get to the point where you completely comprehend God is our good, good Father. It's something that you grow into, and you're reminded and you're taught more about God's character and more about who he is. And the closer that you get to God, the more you realize that he is so different than us, and the more that you get amazed that he is our good, good Father. And so in the moments that we have this morning, I'm not going to be able to wrap up a description of our good, good Father, because it's just impossible to do in a thousand sermons to describe who God is. But this God that we are talking about as our good, good Father is someone that loves us and cares for us, and he wants to be a good, good Father in our life. And so if you have your Bible, open it up to John chapter 1. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture as we talk about two life-changing truths about God the Father. Two life-changing truths about God the Father. In the first chapter of John, John has this prelude to the chapter where it's a description about Jesus coming into this world. And in this passage of Scripture, it has a verse that talks about how we have been given the opportunity to become children of God. What an amazing thing that is. So if you found your place in John chapter 1, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. John chapter 1, starting at verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And then right after this great statement about Jesus, the Word, Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray together. Father, in these moments that we have, that we talk about your goodness and your presence in our life, would you continue to speak to our hearts? And Father, help us to navigate through these wrong ideas about who you are so that we can embrace who you want to be in our life as our good, good Father. So Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God, our good, good Father, this verse says, and this verse talks about he came into the world, but the world did not know him. And then verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Listen, that verse sets out the principle of if we will place our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we can be forgiven of our sins and we can become children of God. That once we are lost like sheep without a shepherd, we looked at last week, but now that we can place our faith in Jesus, that we can be found and we can call God our Heavenly Father. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he started with, pray this way, our Father in heaven. And that was a foreign idea for them because only 7 times in the Old Testament is God called the Father. But then in the New Testament, as Jesus comes, he sets the perfect example for us, the perfect model for us of what living a life as God, his Father, was like. And Jesus showed us that. Over 150 times, he used the term Heavenly Father. And so this was a new idea, and as he's teaching his disciples how to pray, he says, start with our Father in heaven. And so Jesus was providing a way that we could be a child of the King, that we could be a child of God. Listen, that is a life-changing truth. That is a game changer by every stretch of the imagination, that we can be forgiven of our sins and that we can become God's children, his adopted children, one of his family. The scripture talks about being heirs with Christ, that we get into the family with all the rights that a child of God has. Listen, when you grasp that in your life, that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, and that you can become a child of God, listen, that's a life-changing, transforming verse because you're no longer an orphan. You're no longer without a father. You've got your Heavenly Father. Listen, my dad had some good qualities and he had some not so good qualities, but everything that was lacking in my life as it related to having a father in my life was made up by my Heavenly Father. He has the power to fill in the gaps that each one of us have in our lives. I'm so thankful, thankful for my father and the times that we spent, but wow, I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father. Because of my relationship with Jesus, that changes our eternity. That changes the power that we have to live our lives. That just changes everything in our lives. It's life-changing. And this the song, Good, Good Father, it talks about, in part of the verse that says, and I'm loved by you, that's who I am. That's who I am. And we're going to sing that song in a second. And when you understand that your identity, once you're a believer in Christ, is found in being a child of God, that changes everything. Your identity is changed. You are a child of God. That is who you are. That's who you are. And see, when you grab onto that, that makes a difference in your life. You know, that makes a difference when you're dealing with loneliness. That makes a difference when you're dealing with all types of other things, to know that you are God's child, that he cares about you, that he loves you, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's amazing to think and get your mind and heart around the fact that you can be a child of God. And the way that that happens is when someone places their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Let's look at that passage quickly. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to them who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. See, everyone's not a child of God because everyone has not received him. Everyone has not believed in his name. But if you understand who Jesus is and what he did on the cross, when he died for our sins, and then he was placed in that tomb, and then he rose again, he did all of that for us, and we can place our faith in him, and in that moment we become an adopted child of the King. Listen, are you living as an adopted child of the King today? Are you living as a child of God, knowing that your good Father cares for you and loves you? Listen, if you're not, it's probably because you haven't got your mind and heart around the idea that you can be a child of God. And once you become a child of God, that changes everything. But the second life-changing truth about God, the Father, is that the Heavenly Father is a good Father. Our Heavenly Father is a good Father. If you quickly turn to Luke chapter 15, this is the story of the prodigal son. And y'all know this story. You've heard sermons about this story. The son, the younger son, wants his inheritance so that he can go live his own life. He wants to do his own thing. And so his father agrees, and he goes, and he wastes his money, and he lives in a way, in a dishonorable way, and finds himself feeding pigs, and he longed to eat the pig food, the pig pods. And then the verse that we're going to read here in a second, he says, when he came to his senses. And what an amazing moment that is, when we're living in a way that we shouldn't be living, when we come to our senses and we understand, listen, we're a child of the King. We've got a good Father, and when you come to your senses, everything changes. Listen to these verses. This is Luke 15:17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, what an amazing moment this was. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, and here's some confession and repentance, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For my son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Listen, this shows you the heart of our good Father. That even in our lowest moment, when we have turned away from him and when we've purposed in our heart to live apart from him, and we decide to start living the way that we are in Christ as God's children, and we come to our senses and we turn back to God, what we get is grace, and what we get is love, and we get God racing out to us to embrace us, to say, my son has come home, my daughter has come home. And we get just a snapshot in this passage of Scripture, our good Father. We get just a glimpse of the great love. He's not that cosmic cop that's just waiting to say, see, I told you you were no good. See, I caught you in something you did wrong. You spent all your money. You lived in a way. Listen, that's not what the prodigal son got. The prodigal son got grace and love. And we get a picture of how Jesus is describing this parable, and we get a picture of our good Father and how he relates to us when we come to our senses, and when we turn back to him, which all of us do. You know, one of the things that's nice about Father's Day is the meals. That's good. Some of you have got big meal plans coming up here after the service. Probably shouldn't have mentioned that. Some of y'all are like, yeah, we've got some meal plans coming up. Speed it up. Another thing that's nice about Father's Day are the gifts. If you have children that are close to you, They will give gifts, and I am looking forward to my kids. A few of them have said, we got your present. You know, that's like the bait. We got your present, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I think that comes from me doing that to them their whole life. You know, I got you a present. Oh, I can't tell you. And, you know, and they ask, oh, I can't tell you. So they're kind of doing that to me. So I'm looking forward to this afternoon having the nice meal and having the presents And it struck me about maybe what God would want, if he's our good, good father, what God would want from us on Father's Day. Have you ever thought about that? What we would give our Heavenly Father, if God is our Heavenly Father for all of those who have received him and have believed in his name, what could we give him on Father's Day? And then God led me to Psalm 51. So if you have your Bible, quickly turn to Psalm 51. This is the most read psalm in many believers' lives. It's a psalm of repentance and returning to God. It goes right with the prodigal son story. And down towards the end of this psalm, in verse number 14, the psalmist is confessing their sin to God. He says, "Deliver me from blood guilt, from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." Then down in 13 it says, "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise." That's one of the things that we can bring to God this Father's Day, is we can praise him. We can proclaim that he is who the scripture says that he is. And he is who has changed our life. And we have gathered together today to do that very thing. We have been singing God's praises and we have been praising him this morning. So we can bring God praise. But it goes on. It says, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings." And then listen to verse 17. "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." And the psalmist right there in that verse comes to the heart of what it is that God wants. God wants our hearts. God wants us to say to him and to be honest and agree with him, "God, I have sin in my life, and you don't desire sacrifice. You desire a broken and contrite spirit, a broken heart." And so we can give God our hearts. And we can say, "God, here I am. I am your child. I know I make mistakes, but I am your child." And listen to what it says. "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise." That's what he wants. And so this morning, I wonder what you're going to give God today, that you can give God, you can say, "God, you're my good, good father, and I'm so glad. And God, I give you my heart. I give you my affection. I give you my life because you are my good, good father." And in that, you find your identity in Christ as a child of God. Because Jesus died on the cross, we can be children of God and we can enjoy what having a good, good father means in our life. And listen, this doesn't even scratch the surface of who God is, his character and his integrity and his majesty. This only just begins to describe who God is in our life. We spend the rest of our lives as believers in Christ discovering who God is. We get to areas of our life and God does something and we go, "Thank you, God. That was not predicted. I didn't see that coming. Thank you, God." And we go through the difficulties and we go through the great times in life and God is there and he's being our good, good father. And we learn more and more as we look into his word and as we live our lives for him what it means for God to be our good, good father. And so what we're going to do in these moments as we close the service is our worship team is going to come up and they're going to sing that song, "Good, Good Father." And while they're singing that song, I would encourage you to sing along. It's Father's Day. We can sing about our good, good father. But I'm also going to encourage you to do business with God, that you would spend some time thanking God for saving you, thanking God that he is a perfect, good, good father in your life. Maybe even spending some time taking care of some issues that you have in your life and that you would repent and you would turn back to God like Psalm 51. And that you would enjoy giving God that perfect gift. Listen, when you give that person that you love in your life the perfect gift, it feels great. And what God wants from you, you can give him. And that's your life. That's your heart. and we turn our affection to Him. So please stand. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing the song. We're going to do business with God in these moments that we close together. Father, thank You for Your love for us. And Father, thank You for who You are. You are our good, good Father. And Father, thank You that that changes who we are, that we're loved by You, and that we can be children of God, sons and daughters. And so, Father, in these moments, would You do business in our lives down deep in our hearts. And Father, we want to commit our lives to You, and we want to give You all that we are because You are worthy of all that we can offer. So, Father, thank You. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.